Clap your hands, stamp your feet, tap your toes to the Shades of Blue show every Sunday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. with your alternating hosts, Steve Kay and me, Eve. You'll hear the best of jump blues, boogie woogie, jazz, swing, and all the music that paved the way for today's rock and roll. Don't miss out. See you on Sundays, only on WUSB, Stony Brook.
And the time is just about 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 6 o'clock, as I just said. And that means it's time for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. In fact, this is our last show of April. How sad. I'm not really sure why that's sad, but it seems like time is ever so fleeting. But I guess it's good in some ways because a lot of the bad stuff will go all the faster that way. We got plenty of bad stuff to talk about tonight, as well as good stuff. I'd like to take some phone calls, if at all possible. Would be nice. And something I consider to be, I guess, good news. I'm sure a lot of people will disagree with me on this. But I saw this story yesterday in the New York Sun. Yeah, we have a newspaper called the New York Sun. Nobody reads it, but occasionally they have an interesting story. Get ready for another economic shock of major proportions, a virtual doubling of prices at the gas pump to as much as $10 a gallon. $10 a gallon. When I was a child, we could only dream of the day where gas would cost $10 a gallon. None of us thought we'd ever actually live to see this day. And boy, we'd be jumping up and down with excitement had we known that that was a possibility within our lifetimes. Now, right now, of course, gasoline is, about $3.50 a gallon, something like that. And that's if you get the really crappy kind of gas, too. I tend to like the premium for the cars that take gas, you know, regular gas. And my smart car uses diesel, so for some reason, diesel has really shot through the roof, and I've seen that going for as much as $4.50, $4.75 even. But as far as I'm concerned, it can go to $10. It can go to $10 a gallon, and that's just fine with me. That is great, in fact, because anything that gets these idiots off the road in their huge truck vehicles called SUVs and minivans, anything that'll help accomplish that, anything that will make these people unhappy, miserable, crying at the gas pump, that's okay with me. It really is. I have every day I've got one run-in or another with one of these idiots. I don't know. What is it about driving something like that makes you stupid? What is it exactly? You feel like you're the king of the road, that nothing can hurt you, that nobody else exists, that you can just intimidate people because of your size? I mean, Hummers are the worst. Hummers are the absolute worst. I'm able to do this when I'm driving with people. I'm able to say, this guy in front of me here, we're faced off at a red light. He's making a left. I'm going straight. I've got right of way. He's driving a Hummer. He's going to cut me off. There's just no doubt in my mind, and it happens every time, because that person is a jerk. That person is a jerk who feels because he's driving a pseudo-military vehicle that he can simply push his way through any situation. And that's okay. That's the way the world works. And in their twisted little minds, that is the way the world works. And it's backed up by what our government does. It's backed up by our society's values that might makes right. And that we're always right. So, yeah, you know, I would love to see these people fall down on their asses and become bankrupted by their own stupidity. I'd love to see that. Like I said, every day I have a run-in today. On the way over here, twice, I encountered, I think they were SUVs. I can't tell the difference. It's just these big, huge vehicles that are driven by one person, and they get something like 9 miles to the gallon. And that's great right there. I mean, that's amazing. These people are just simply wasting so much of their own money. But it sucks that they're polluting the environment with their ridiculous oversized vehicles. But twice, I'm minding my own business, just simply driving down the road. They are in two-thirds of my lane. It's a two-lane road. They want more than what they have. Apparently, they don't want to ride anywhere near the shoulder of the road because maybe there's a bump or something there. So they feel it's okay for them to take two-thirds of my oncoming traffic lane. I don't know if they think that they can simply go through me like some kind of cartoon, or if I'm so small that it's like they must be running over a pebble or something like that. Or maybe I'll just swerve and go into the woods. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what people think they can do, what they can get away with. Yesterday I was driving down a parking lot, you know, just simply going from one end of it to the other. Well, I wasn't driving from one end of it to the other. I would walk if I was going from one end of the shopping center to the other. There are people who will drive from one end of a shopping center to another. But I was simply passing by the shopping center, and you had cars that were parked. And one of these cars / trucks / idiots was starting to back up as I was going towards them. They saw me. They just continued. They just continued to keep backing up like, oh, yeah, he's going to stop. I'm going to go, even though I have... But by no law in the world do I have the right of way. I'm just going to start backing up now because I feel like it. Well, long story short, he was corrected and did not continue backing up. But man, every day I've got to deal with frustrations like this. So, yeah, if $10 a gallon will get these jackasses off the road once and for all, of course they'll be on the road in something else, but at least they won't be on the road in these dangerous vehicles, then I am all for it. And plus, you know, it's about time. It's about time we started thinking of ways of conserving. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this in 2008, when this is what we were saying back in the 1970s. But apparently the message just is not getting through. Back in the gas crunch of the 1970s, we called it the gas crunch, make it sound like a candy bar so that, I don't know, I guess it's more palatable. But we started to conserve. We started to drive small vehicles. We started to think about gas mileage. And today, every time the price goes up, we say, you know what? We're going to stick it to you, and we're gonna drive something that's even less gas efficient, just to show you that we can. And it's staggering to me how aggressively stupid some people are. Because they're only hurting themselves. They're only hurting the people around them. They're making things a whole lot less pleasant. So, yeah, we have to have more fuel-efficient cars. I see the projections for 10, 15 years from now, and the mileage that these cars are supposedly going to get in the future is equivalent to the car that I still own from 1993 that has 250,000 miles on it, almost. Now, how is it that car can get as good mileage as a car they're projecting to be the standard in 15 years? There's something not right about that. Now, in Europe, the gas prices have always been pretty high. And as a result, people drive imaginative-looking vehicles. Small vehicles, all sorts of scooters and various other kinds of modes of transportation that basically save gas. That's the idea, to save gas, not to spend a whole lot of money. And that's what I'd like to see more of. People complain all the time, say, well, I have no choice. I have no choice. I have to drive this huge vehicle because I can't afford anything else. First of all, of course you can afford something else. Because simply the amount of money you'll save in gas alone will basically fix that pretty quickly. But there are all sorts of other options, all sorts of other alternatives. For one thing, you ever consider riding a bicycle? I mean, I used to do this all the time, to get to school, to get to work, and this is in suburbia. Oh yeah, people throw bottles at you, people throw stones at you, because I don't know why, people just are afraid of things like bicycles that are different and strange and alien to them. So yeah, you'll run into a bunch of idiots, and you will be taking your life into your hands because of the fools on the road. There's no way around that. No matter what, there's no way around that. We have to start thinking differently. Bicycles, motorcycles, scooters, mopeds, and fuel-efficient cars. Not to mention mass transportation. You know, the good kind, the kind that actually works. We have horrible mass transportation in this country. Well, you know what? We could have a state-of-the-art system if we stopped taking over other countries, invading, occupying, that kind of thing. So that should be the issue. That should be the issue people are talking about in this election year. That, health care, getting our troops out of wherever our troops have been put into, things like that. See, a lot of nonsense being talked about in the campaign about who said what to whom, and it's the usual mass media nonsense that takes our minds off the really important issues. Imagine a country where you weren't being bankrupted simply by getting around. Yeah, where if you didn't want to drive a car, you could simply hop onto a bus or a tram or a train or something and get from one city to another quickly. You wouldn't have to fly everywhere. You can get from New York to Chicago in a few hours by high-speed rail, which does not exist, but it could. It could have. Our cities could have mass transit that is so much better than what exists now. We've been trying to construct the Second Avenue line in New York City now for, what, 50 years? We just seem to have this this aversion to actually accomplishing things, and that needs to change. So, if $10 a gallon brings us closer to that, again, I am all for it. And as you know, I drive a smart car. In fact, yesterday, I saw two other smart cars on the road right out here in Long Island. Do you know how thrilling that was? To be driving down the road and see another one? First of all, I mean, everybody was beeping and waving, and it was great. But first of all, just the relief of not being the only one anymore. I've had a smart car now for 3 years. It's like some kind of fantasy out of my wildest dreams that smart cars are here in the United States, finally. I feel like a crusader, like, you know, I helped bring these things here. And maybe I did, because, like I've said, if I wrapped my car around the tree and did something horrible with it, people would say that car's not safe, and then maybe they wouldn't have imported these things. But I didn't do that. I drove responsibly, for the most part. And now they're here. Now they're here. You can actually get one. You have to wait a year to get them because they're so popular. And you may notice they're not even advertising the things. I talked to one of the dealers, and they say, yeah, you know, they didn't give us any budget to advertise because these things are flying off the shelf. So they figure we don't need to advertise. Not sure about that kind of logic, but yeah, they're out there. They're driving around. You'll see more of them. People have told me they've seen some in New York City. It's really kind of cool. I had another misadventure with my smart car the other day. I was with a friend, and it wasn't my idea, but they decided they wanted to go to Taco Bell. All right, the drive-up line at Taco Bell. Now, I had just watched Fast Food Nation. Wasn't really into this, but whatever, you know. Had the smart car, figured it's going to get all kinds of stares and looks and people coming up to us, but it's a thing to do, I guess. Well, wouldn't you know, right there, after placing the order and waiting on the line, you know, the part where you're committed and you can't back out. You got cars behind you, cars in front of you, and a curb to your left and right, and there's like a wall on either side, so you can't go anywhere. All of a sudden, the car just sort of jolted forward, I was like, what, did I just get hit by somebody? There was nobody around right behind me that could have done that. Wasn't that close. So it turned out there was something, some gear issue. And this happened once before where instead of showing the gear number on my display, it shows three horizontal lines. And it means there's some kind of gear malfunction. And if you try to go into gear, the car will simply rock back and forth and not actually do anything. So I said, oh, this is just great. This is amazing. Here I am in the Taco Bell drive-up line, stuck. Nobody can get around me. I can't get out. I'm going to put them out of business, which is kind of a cool concept, but I realized that we could just push the car out of the way, but still, it was embarrassing. You ever go to a drive-up in a fast food joint and have to push your car through? And especially if it's a smart car. And even with that, even with us pushing the car, first of all, we pushed it up to the window, got our order, and continued pushing it to another area where the thing could recuperate. But even with that, people were coming up to us asking, hey, where can I get a car like that? They weren't commenting on, why is your car broken? Or do you need a hand or something like that? Or wanting to get a horse? Or, you know, any of these things people could have said. No, they still wanted to know how to get the car. The fact that we were pushing it was irrelevant, apparently. Well, long story short, we pushed to the side, waited 20 minutes, and the thing started up, and no problem. But, you know, I still don't know what that was, and I've asked a bunch of people, and nobody knows what it was. So, it's kind of hard sometimes to figure these things out. I don't know if that's simply something on my version of the car. I've got the Canadian version from 3 years ago, or if that happens to anybody else. If so, please write and let me know what happened. OTW@2600.com. But it's cool, you know, even with gas being vastly expensive. It was only very recently that it cost me more than $20 to fill up my tank when it was bone dry, because it's a small tank, but it also gets very good mileage, and I can get back and forth from New York City on one tank, which is about 5 gallons. So that's a good feeling, knowing you can do that. It's a bad feeling when you have to sink over $100 into the gas tank and get very bad mileage, and you have to ask yourself, do you really need to be doing this? Do you really need to be hauling 55-gallon drums of mayonnaise from the Price Club? Or can you get by maybe going to a local supermarket like your grandparents used to do? we live this lifestyle that just seems to be overly abundant to the point of absurdity. And we have to rethink this. And again, $10 a gallon, if that'll make us do that, That's great. I'm all for it. All right, I'm sure I got all kinds of hate mail. Hey, we did get some hate mail this week. And, you know, I always encourage the hate mail, so please keep sending it. You can send other mail, too, but the hate mail is really what gets our attention. OTW@2600.com. Whether you're upset at my glee at $10 a gallon gas, or my feelings about guns not being quite the same as human beings, or anything else that I might happen to say, which, you know, I say a lot of things. Sometimes I don't even remember saying them. You can write us a letter, otw@2600.com, or you can call us a little later in this show. Yes, we will be taking phone calls. I see people calling now. Why do people call before I give out the phone number and before I say I'm taking phone calls? And then when I say I'm taking phone calls and I do give out the phone number, you don't call until the show's over. One day I'd like to figure out that logic. But anyway, for future reference, maybe in about 20 minutes, we'll start taking phone calls, 631-632 WUSB. Now, for those of you who don't have letters on your phone, that's 631-632-9872. And invariably, some of you will have to dial a 1, and maybe other things, too, if you're out of the country or behind a PBX or whatnot. There's all sorts of possibilities. You know, one thing I really would like to have, as I continue this journey through life, I'd like to have a master rulebook of sorts. You know, there's something that tells me what to do in certain situations, because there are so many times I just don't know the rules. I don't know what to do. You know, it's certain social situations or legal situations or just basically getting through your daily life. They're just these little things. Like, okay, what kind of wine goes with what kind of food? I don't know. What kind of jacket goes with what kind of shirt? I don't know. There are all kinds of rules. How do you wash this particular item of clothing? Do you put this in a dryer? You know? When do you hug somebody? When do you kiss somebody? You people in Europe, you drive me crazy. Sometimes it's one on each cheek. Sometimes it's three. You know, one, two, and then a third one. And it's, in the United States, we're all awkward as far as that kind of thing goes. So we're always, you know, we don't even know if we're supposed to shake someone's hand or give them a hug or a kiss on the cheek. You know, what occasion dictates which behavior? We need rules. We need to know. Because we're just unprepared for our daily lives otherwise. I mean, I know the basic things. I know to drive on the right-hand side of the road, which apparently people in the SUVs haven't quite mastered that yet. You know, I know to say please and thank you and not to insult people for the most part, although sometimes I insult people and I don't even realize I'm doing it. Don't even realize it. You say something and it just it gets somebody, rubs somebody the wrong way, and they misinterpret what you're saying, but you keep going because you don't know that they're misinterpreting you, and it just gets worse and worse. Now, those situations are impossible to get around. But the most recent thing that happened to me, this is actually a series of events, but basically it involved the cat getting sick, all right? The cat got sick for some reason. This happens every now and then. If you have a cat, you know what I mean. Occasionally they just like start puking all over the place. Whether it's hairballs, whether it's a change in the temperature, a change in the food, it's just something you got to deal with. And sometimes, you know, you got to take them to the vet, and it's a whole big thing. But this particular case only lasted a couple of days, so everything was cool. But during this, I would always be coming upon various little surprises in various places. Now, if you ever have a pet, they're very good at doing things to surprise you. Dogs, cats, ferrets, guinea pigs, turtles, snakes, fish, you name it. They're good at this. There was one time the cat got locked in my room. Yeah, I was out for a couple of days. Somebody was supposed to be feeding the cat. And they were feeding the cat, except what they weren't doing was checking to see if the cat was there. The cat actually got locked in my room, was very angry. Very angry being locked in a room for 2 days. And when I got back and discovered him, he had very ceremoniously and in an obvious fashion done his business, which is about as politely as I can say it, right on my bed, like right exactly where I would be sleeping. As if to say, look, this is for you. This is what you get for disrespecting me and locking me in this room. Yeah. Yeah, look at that. Look at that. That's for you. It was like on my pillow. Right there. I mean, I could not miss it. And, you know, I understood. I agreed with that decision. I totally agreed with it. It was justified. He had every right to do that. He had been wronged. He had been disrespected. He needed to make a statement, and I much prefer that he make the statement in that manner than hide it someplace where I would spend the next couple of weeks trying to track it down. So yeah, I totally understood. Had to replace a bunch of things, but it was justified. Now, what happened more recently, though, was not justified. It was not justified. This was when the cat got sick and decided that he would throw up on my jacket, which was happened to be lying on a chair. Like, he went... Never goes there. He just went there to do that and nothing else. So I'm going to put my jacket on and, oh my God, this is horrible. And fortunately, I saw it before I put my jacket on. It was right on the inside. But this is what led to all my problems because I didn't know what to do about this. I didn't know how to get it out because the jacket said dry clean only. So I hopped on the internet and started looking around to see what that meant. And I found some people that said, oh, dry clean only doesn't mean anything. You just throw it in the wash machine. Other people said, oh, my God, dry clean only. If you even touch water to this, things will shrink and you'll wind up ruining things. And, you know, I didn't want to ruin my jacket. It's a nice jacket. So I was angry, you know. Why in God's name did you pick that spot for one thing? What was your point? I don't understand the logic here, all right? I don't understand the logic. I wasn't doing anything to warrant this. Apparently, in pets' eyes, they just wanted you to know. They just wanted you to know, yeah, you know, I'm not feeling well, and to show you that I'm not feeling well, I'm going to vomit over something that is near and dear to you. That way, you know how I'm feeling. Thank you. So, I have this jacket with you know, these bad things on it. I don't know how to get the, I mean, you could wipe with a paper towel or something. That's fine, but it doesn't do anything to really take care of the mess. So I figured, you know, the safest thing to do was to bring it to a dry cleaner, as the jacket said. Now, I didn't know this, but there are dry cleaners everywhere. I don't go to dry cleaners. I don't even understand what dry cleaning is. I really don't understand it. But there's a whole culture there. There are more rules. There are all kinds of ways of doing things that I have absolutely no clue about. If I had a rule book, I'd know these things. But these dry cleaners, there's one in every shopping center. Every shopping center seems to have a dry cleaner. It's like a magic shop of some sort. I guess you bring things in there and they somehow get clean and nobody actually touches water or anything to them. Yeah, I don't really care. I don't really care. I just know that in this particular instance, I needed to have this dry cleaned in a bad way. And so I brought it to a place. The guy was friendly, took my name and information, phone number, all that stuff, and then asked to see the jacket. And he looks over the jacket, a look of ashen horror on his face as he sees the stain that's on there. And I explained the situation. I said what happened. And after looking at it for, you know, a good minute without saying anything, he just looks up at me and says, "No." And I was like, "Excuse me? What do you mean, no? We can't wash this." Why can't you wash my? You're a dry cleaner. This jacket says to take itself to a dry cleaner. Obviously, it needs to be clean. Why can't you wash this? This makes no sense. I said, "Well, you're going to have to wash it first before you give it to us." And I honestly didn't know what to say to that. Well, you know, if I could wash it myself, why would I need to take it to you? The whole point of bringing it to you was that you washed it, because you're a dry cleaner. I am not. I'm a human being. And then I asked, okay, well, so if I'm supposed to wash this first, then I'm breaking the rule that says dry clean only. Are you saying it's okay to break that rule? No, I'm not saying that. Well, then what are you saying? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to become a dry cleaner somehow and do this myself? How do I wash this thing? Oh, I don't know what to tell you. Don't you hate it when people say that? That's the phrase I hate more than anything. I don't know what to tell you. It's like, yeah, you're screwed, and I'm not going to help you at all. I could not believe this. What rule did I break here? I mean, when a cat throws up on your coat, are you not supposed to take it to the dry cleaner, even though it says to take it to the dry cleaner? Are you supposed to know exactly how to wash something that says you're not supposed to wash it? There's no rules. No, I have no idea what to do. I talked to a friend of mine. I said, "Oh, you can't bring a jacket into a dry cleaner that has vomit stains on it. That's not done." Apparently, there is some unwritten rule that says that, but I don't know that rule, and I don't know what to do to counter it. You know, there are all kinds of rules I just don't get. Like, for instance, my apartment in New York City has a super. Okay, I've never seen this guy. Never seen this guy do anything, but we have a super. And probably he fixes things. Never fixed anything of mine. I've never seen him. But once a year I get a card from this guy, which basically is a handout plea. You know, basically give me money because it's the end of the year. And my friends are all aghast that I won't buy into this. I believe in tipping people. I tip the mailman. I tip people who actually do things. Haven't figured out yet how to tip the garbage man, but I'd love to do that, really, because they bring a lot of joy to my life, or take a lot of nonsense out of my life. But this is somebody that literally I only hear from once a year, who doesn't do anything to better my life. I've never even seen his face. Why? Why in God's name should I tip somebody like that? Because that's what's done. Those are the rules. That's how it works. Doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem fair at all. So, similarly, this whole dry cleaning escapade, I don't know how to deal with that either. Rule books would help. For the record, though, I did take it to another dry cleaner, which was about 3 feet away, and they said, "Oh, no problem, we'll take care of it." So the rules don't apply to everybody, apparently. But wow. It was a whole escapade, a whole big thing of going from one place to another and learning what to do and what not to do, and I hope I never experience that again. And from now on, the jacket gets hung up. Of course, then the bats that are in my house might do something as well. Okay, let's see what's going on in the world. Sean Bell verdict. Well, you know, is anybody really surprised by this? Sean Bell, of course, the bridegroom who was shot to death outside a club the morning of his wedding in Jamaica, Queens, in a hail of gunfire. The officers that did that found not guilty by a single judge. They picked a judge over a jury. I still don't know if anybody can just pick a judge over a jury. But it seemed kind of obvious to me that in so doing, this judge wasn't going to find them guilty of manslaughter. And so what you've seen in the days since, this happened on Friday, you've seen a series of protests, but rather small protests. And there's just this feeling of hopelessness, like, yeah, you know, this is what happens. Cops want to kill you, they'll kill you. Now, was this a racial thing? It wasn't really a racial thing, and maybe that's why people aren't as upset, which I think is wrong, because one of the cops was black. You know, that doesn't prove anything. This isn't a black-white issue. I mean, there are black-white issues within it, but the main issue is that you have this gang of people walking around with guns who feel they can just do whatever they want. And if you don't believe that, go into New York City and watch how cops behave. Now, obviously there are good cops, but so many of them simply flout the law. They drive through red lights with no emergency. They intimidate people. And in some cases, they do horrible things like this. The very fact that they were so out of control that they wound up shooting through the glass of a nearby train station. You know, there was an AirTrain station, that little automated train that goes to JFK Airport from Jamaica. They shot through that. They could have killed people standing in the train station. All this because some guy was driving a car towards them. Ostensibly because he didn't know who they were. They had guns. And, you know, I'd do the same thing. If people were surrounding me with guns, and I didn't know that they were officers of the law, yeah, I would aim a car at them. It's logical. It makes perfect sense. But apparently, in hindsight, that is how Sean Bell was judged, that he tried to run over some cops. Doesn't matter that he didn't know they were cops. He tried to run over cops. Therefore, he deserved to die. That's basically what is being said here. And it's pathetic. It's disgusting, in fact. But not surprising. Not surprising at all. And I wish there was a little bit more outrage about it. Obviously, people who do these kinds of things should not be trusted. I mean, cops are human beings. I've always said this. But they have to be held to a higher standard if they're going to be treated with a higher standard. And they can't freak out and start shooting willy-nilly at everything that moves simply because they start to panic. That is not what a cop should be. All right. Quickly, are the gun violence of the week. Let's see what we got here. Actually, this is from last week. Boy, Chicago, really. They're setting records. 31 people shot over a single weekend, 6 killed. For some reason, it's gone mad in Chicago. People just shooting all over the place. And nobody knows what to do about it. The cops, their way of dealing with it is to get bigger guns themselves so that they can deal with all these people with the other guns that are it's madness. Typical American madness. Today, Washington, D.C., 2 students shot at a vocational school in Northeast. I guess that's a part of D.C. The victims, a male and female, were found outside the Excel Institute. According to D.C. police, a disgruntled student with a gun went inside the school and shot a male student, then shot a female student outside the school before carjacking a vehicle and driving to 17th and East Capitol Street, Southeast. And after ditching the vehicle, the suspect attempted to carjack 2 other vehicles before carjacking a Terminix car. I don't know what that is, a Terminix car. Is that a neighborhood? Is that a kind of car? Is that a car belonging to a robot? Terminix car. This sounds kind of weird. After a brief pursuit, the suspect was finally apprehended at 19th and C Street Southeast, but not before hitting a police cruiser, injuring an officer in another car, injuring a pregnant woman. Man, this guy just went on a crime spree today. Good news, both of these students' injuries are considered non-life-threatening. But, yeah, that's just shows you the damage one person can do. Now, of course, if everybody had been armed, I guess wouldn't have gone that far, would it? People could be shooting all over the place and stopping everybody else from doing bad things. But that's not the world we live in. That is called fantasy land. And here's another, the latest of teenagers killing their entire families, which, for some reason, these stories used to be the front page. Like, you know, front page all-day news where they would go into this kind of thing. Now it's just buried. It's buried. You know, the kid in Maryland who killed his whole family a few weeks ago, didn't hear anything after that happened. Didn't hear a thing. Okay, Anderson County authorities in South Carolina have arrested an 18-year-old in connection with the deaths of four family members. Deputies said Nathaniel Dixon is charged with murder. Four people were found dead on Pine Lake Drive near the Pickens County line. Coroner's office identified the victims as Dixon's father, stepmother, stepsister, and 14-year-old brother. All the victims appear to have died from gunshot wounds. No word on motive. Just someone else freaking out, having easy access to weapons of death. And what else? This is also from South Carolina. A high school senior collected enough supplies to carry out a bomb attack on his school and detailed the plot in a hate-filled diary that included maps of the building and admiring notations about the Columbine killers. Now, was this diary on Facebook or something? Something incredibly stupid like that? Or was it an actual diary that somebody keeps under their bed with a little key? At least, if you're going to plot blowing up your school, keep that kind of a diary. And don't drop it in the parking lot of a Burger King like the morons here in Long Island did. We're not dealing with Einsteins here, obviously. But, boy, you gotta wonder what's going on with our society. Anyway, Ryan Schallenberger, 18 years old, was arrested after his parents called police when, get this, 10 pounds of ammonium nitrate was delivered to their home. And then they discovered the journal. That's called good parenting. Now, the team planned to make several bombs and had all the supplies needed to kill dozens at Chesterfield High School, depending on where the devices were placed and whether they included shrapnel. Ammonium nitrate was used in the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. That killed 168 people. According to the police chief, the only thing left was delivering the bombs. He kept a journal for more than a year that detailed his plans for a suicide attack and included maps of the school. The writings did not include a specific time for the attack or the intended targets. He also left an audio tape to be played after he died, explaining why he wanted to bomb his school. We have heard no details as to exactly why he wanted to do that. But according to the police chief, he seemed to hate the world. He hated people different from him, the rich boys with good-looking girlfriends. How many times have we seen this same story repeated over and over again, people who don't fit in? It's almost like they're pushed into doing the worst possible thing. And we almost want to see that. We almost want to see that kind of a reaction. You've seen it with bullies in school, where they keep trying to push somebody into reacting in some way. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the person with physical prowess either. A lot of us are capable of simply pushing and pushing until we get some kind of crazy reaction from somebody. And everybody can be pushed into this in some way or another. Just the decline of our civilization just seems to be continuing. It's so sad. All right, and in the Darwinism Award of the Week, this is another. We read the story a few weeks ago about the couple who got into some kind of a brawl while driving down a road, and one of them was on the roof of the car, punching through the window, various things like that. The other one was trying to run him over. That was fun, but this is even better. This comes out of Pittsburgh. A newlywed couple spent the night in separate jail cells, she in her wedding gown, after police said they brawled with each other and then members of another wedding party at a suburban Pittsburgh hotel. The fight started Saturday night after a reception when he knocked her to the floor with a karate kick in the 7th-floor hallway of a Holiday Inn. It escalated when she attacked two guests from another wedding party who came to her aid. The melee then moved to an elevator and then to the lobby, where the couple threw metal platters at the two guests of the other party. That caused minor injuries. Ross Police, I guess this is the town of Ross or something? This story doesn't say what Ross means. It just says Ross Police. Police Sergeant Dave Siska said it was pretty wild. Now, dentist David W. Wilchowski of Shaler, is his first name dentist, or are they just defining his life for some reason? Well, let's assume he's a dentist. Dentist David W. Wilchowski, 32 years old, of Shaler, and Krista Vatimo, 25 years old, had actually married a month earlier in the Bahamas, but repeated their vows Saturday at a reception for 150 guests. They were checking into their room when the argument began. This is what happens when you are married for a month. Police arrived to find the dentist lying on the lobby floor and his bride screaming. Why are they referring to him as the dentist? That's kind of weird. Authorities charged them both with simple assault. Simple assault. I guess they're not capable of complex assault. In addition to criminal mischief and disorderly conduct, the bride was charged with an additional count of public intoxication. They face a May 7th preliminary hearing. You know, I want to go. I want to go to that hearing. It's open to the public, right? May 7th. I want to see these people. We should all go. Come on. A district judge considered issuing a restraining order against Wilchowski, but his new bride declined the measure. The couple declined comment upon their release Sunday morning. She left with her father, still dressed in her white gown. Wilchowski, the dentist, left alone, sporting a swollen eye, tuxedo pants, a bloody T-shirt, and one shoe. Now, can anybody honestly say that these two do not deserve each other? This is a match made in heaven. Let them cancel each other out, please. All right, let's go on to hate mail, then we'll take some phone calls, 631-632-9872. You know what, let me do the whole delay thing now so I get it over with. Because that always is such a distraction. Such a distraction to me. As you can tell, maybe I'm being distracted right now. All right, I just have to hit all the right buttons and do it in the proper way. And there's so many buttons to hit. So many incredible buttons to hit. Got to get it just right. But hopefully with the help of Joan Jett, I'll get it right this time.
Point one, yeah! Hi, this is Joan Jett from the Blackhearts, and you're rocking with WUSB Stony Brook.
I got it wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the confusion there. I played it in the wrong channel, and that resulted in confusion. But let me just make sure that everything's okay. Everything seems to be okay. We made it through delay, all right. And now we're legally allowed to take phone calls, 631-632-9872. But let's read some mail first and see what's going on out there. First, the pleasant mail. Dear Emmanuel, I've been enjoying the podcast feed for a while now. You know, we are a radio show, too, on a radio station, just pointing that out. But thanks for making the shows available. I guess we are a podcast as well, technically. I live in Chico, California, where there are 5 streets downtown, in order, whose first letters spell out Chico. They are Chestnut, Hazel, Ivy, Cherry, and Orange. It's not as interesting as a city where the street names were all celestial, but that's not something I've ever seen before in any other city. Signed, Charlie from Chico. And Charlie from Chico, well, you know, that is interesting, and you're observant for finding out that they spell Chico. I wonder, does everybody know this, or did you figure it out on your own? I mean, there could be, here in Stony Brook, there could be streets that spell out Stony Brook, if you just wander around and connect the dots. Speaking of which, anybody catch Ugly Betty last week? They kept saying Stony Brook every, like, 5 seconds. It was kind of freaky. Yeah, did you hear what happened to this person when they went to Stony Brook? Why don't you ask her about Stony Brook? Stony Brook, Stony Brook, Stony Brook. Wow. Somebody knows about this place. It's kind of cool, though. Okay, in the city of Woodstock, Ontario, Canada, there is a neighborhood in the northeast where most of the streets are named after Canadian prime ministers. There's a McDonald Drive, a Cartier Drive, a St. Laurent Crescent, and even John Diefenbacher, the thief, got a street named after him. Just north of that neighborhood, the streets are named after First Nations. There's Cree Avenue, Naskapi Street, Mohawk Street, and Iroquois Crescent, among others. That neighborhood is nicknamed the Reserve by some Woodstock residents. You know, we do that here. We name towns after the native tribes that we slaughter. Setauket, Patchogue, Cutchogue, Quag, all sorts of names throughout Long Island, New York. Continuing here, east of that neighborhood, the streets are named after birds. Cardinal Drive, Hummingbird Crescent, Finch Avenue, etc. We've got some of those, too. Finally, in the southwest area are five roads named after Canadian provinces: Manitoba Road, Ontario Street, Prince Edward Road, Alberta Avenue, and Nova Scotia Court. Thanks, JoJo, for sending that in. I listened to the Off the Hook April 23rd program and Off the Wall April 22nd programs for the first time last night and wanted to comment on some of the program content. This is the hate mail, by the way, in case you couldn't tell from the tone. Much of America does seem to be in a mad sports obsession. Oh, that's right, I criticized sports last week, didn't I? I'm sorry. Not only do these people seem to want to continuously build new sports stadiums, our cable and satellite companies give us choices of channel packages crammed with sports crap. Often to get a few channels we are interested in, we have to subscribe to such packages. We are told that we must accept this to keep the cost of programming affordable. So, in other words, I suppose broadcasters are trying to tell us that sports programming subsidizes our other television viewing. I have a little bit of an axe to grind on this. As a former DirecTV customer representative, I had to deal with a lot of sports fanatics who were practically reduced to snarling, whiny two-year-olds if they missed or couldn't get a particular sports program. At the least, Emmanuel Goldstein seems to be tolerant of their right to have the interest in sports, even though he resents having to walk through miles of parking lots to get where he needs to go. I just love being analyzed like this. As for the Barack Obama quote that Midwest people cling to religion and guns, Emmanuel Goldstein seems to be clueless as to why that comment is a big deal. He even seems to agree with that thinking. Give me a break. That quote makes Obama sound like an elitist snob, and that he thinks most Midwestern people are backward and brainless. And Emmanuel can't seem to figure out why anyone would be angry or offended about that. Get a clue, Emmanuel. Signed, Carol. Well, Carol, you know, it would have been nice if he gave me a clue. I mean, you know, you say that it makes him sound as if he's saying that people are backward and brainless, but I didn't get that at all. I didn't get the elitism either. And are you from the Midwest? Because you sound kind of bitter. Yeah. There are a lot of bitter people, a lot of intelligent bitter people. But to say that they're happy and optimistic, that's a lot more patronizing than saying the truth. Okay, and one more letter. Please stop. I can't say what this person said. But basically, he's accusing me of doing something intimate with Barack Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. I won't say what it is, but he's asking me to please stop doing that. It's obvious he doesn't stand a chance in hell winning the general election. In addition, 80% of the states he has won the primaries in will go Republican by a fairly huge margin. Fairly large margin in November. The only large state Barack Obama has won is, you guessed it, his home state, Illinois. Big surprise there. Please tell me how Barack Obama is going to win the general by not winning Florida or Michigan, because it sure looks that way according to polls. I don't agree. And I also don't agree that if Hillary Clinton wins Pennsylvania, that means that Barack Obama won't win Pennsylvania if he's the nominee. It just, those two don't necessarily go hand in hand. They might go hand in hand in some states, but not in all states. Like, for instance, Hillary Clinton won New York. Do you think Barack Obama will not win New York against John McCain? Same thing with California. Doesn't necessarily mean anything. And continuing here. Then you say it's not about race. BS, except you didn't say BS. How come 92% of blacks are voting for him? I bet your sorry ass can't even give an example of an accomplishment by Barack Obama. Wait for it, since there isn't any. Uh-huh. Now down to the numbers. 30% of Barack Obama's alleged supporting superdelegates have received tremendous pressure by the black community that they are representing. If you don't vote for Barack Obama, you're out. say goodbye to whatever political position they had. Okay, obviously you're in touch with something that none of us are. Anyway, get this. This is incredible. I can't wait till this idiot joins his friends that he likes to quote so much, Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy, if you know what I mean. What in God's name is that supposed to mean? Unbelievable. Sign the Straight Talk Express. But you know what? You sent this from your real name. And when we looked up your real name, you know what we found? We found a picture of you posing next to Hillary Clinton. Yeah, you and her together. Isn't that something? Like best buddies. Now, I don't think, in all fairness, I don't think Hillary Clinton is aware of the kinds of things you're saying. But, man, it's says a lot about some of the people out there, some of the angry people out there. Yes, the angry, bitter people that cling to all kinds of things. I mean, there might be some points worth addressing there, but you know what? I'd like to hear from some intelligent people actually live that might make the points a little bit better. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, I'm speaking to Emmanuel Goldstein.
You're speaking live to Emmanuel Goldstein, yes.
Oh, my word, I'm phoning from London, and I'm just a big fan of yours, and I've always wanted to phone in, and I suddenly have. Hooray.
Wow, congratulations. This must be a real momentous occasion.
It is. It's a very big... It's Tuesday night, and I had a bath, and I listened to you in the bath. I'm sure you don't want to know that.
Well, the only thing I'm concerned about is that the radio or electronic device not be close to the bath water, because, you know, if they fall in, you get electrocuted.
I was very safe. I'm a very, as I'm
good,
sure all your listeners are, I'm a safety-conscious listener.
I mean, that's not the kind of thing, that's another thing I would put in the rule book. I wouldn't know that a radio falling into the water of a bath would electrocute you, but apparently it does, and I'm about to try it, but that's just kind of surprising.
Well, if it's got batteries in, does it still electrocute you if it's got batteries?
I'm not sure. I've always wondered that, too. If it has batteries, do you still get electrocuted? I don't know.
Radio or with batteries on the edge of my bath.
Well, you know what? There's no way to test that because you have to have somebody in there to say, yes, I'm being electrocuted now. You can't really tell if nobody's in there if they're being electrocuted.
You mean to test it live on air? I mean, it might mean you waiting 20 minutes while I run the bath.
We don't have 20 minutes, I'm afraid. But is there something else on your mind, perhaps?
Huh?
Is there something else on your mind that we might discuss in the brief time we have?
You know, I just wanted to say that I listen to you. I've been spreading the word in London and England about you and your shows and Brain Damage. I've been listening to and catching them on the internet.
Wow.
And
I'm
saying, I can also say I've got a funny book that I've written that's coming out in America on Thursday, and I think you and your readers will find it funny.
You're an author and you've written a book.
And it's just coming out in America.
Okay, tell us all about this book and how we may get copies of it.
It is called The Time Waster Letters.
The Time Waster Letters?
Yeah, and I've written it under my pretend name, which is Robin Cooper. My real name is Robert Popper, and I've written it under my name Robin Cooper. And what it is a series of kind of mental, mad, odd, silly, stupid letters I used to write as a hobby to, like, weird associations and trade groups and hobby groups in Britain, like the British Lizard Society, the British Egg Association.
Awesome.
Some, stupid, silly... requests, not rude things, just mad things with inventions and drawings from this character, Robin Cooper. And they, being Britain, they'd write back very politely. And I'd write back to them again, and they'd write back to me again. And I'd do these deranged drawings. And came out here a few years ago and did very nicely, thank you. And it's coming out in America on Thursday, and I'm very excited.
Now, will we be able to get this on Amazon, perhaps?
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
And what's it called again?
It's called The Time Waster Letters. I'd love to send you a copy, actually.
Well, you're more than welcome to. I certainly won't stop people from sending me things.
Oh, I will send you that. I won't send you hate mail.
Well, you can send hate mail, too, if you're so predisposed to do that. You know, this reminds me, actually, of a book that came out many years ago called, I think it was called Modest Proposals, where this guy would simply write letters to public officials with the most bizarre proposals of things to do. Like, one time, he wrote a letter to our mayor in New York City suggesting that prostitution be legalized on subways because they're not in any particular borough and they're going from borough to borough and sort of like an inter-borough thing, so it's not actually legalizing it on the street. And he actually got a reply from the mayor saying he was crazy, but still, it was a reply.
Short letters.
Sorry?
Can I read you one of my very short letters?
Yes, please.
And a very short reply.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I wrote to the Association of British Beekeeping Appliance Manufacturers.
Uh-huh.
Dear Mr. Thorne, I think we all know that bees make honey. We take that as a given. However, how many of you us know that wasps make mustard? Although more bitter in taste than, say, Dijon mustard, wasp mustard, or waspard, makes a pleasant and healthy accompaniment to lamb, beef, and even turkey. I've been researching the mustard-producing properties of wasps for the past 9 years, and have come up with a foolproof and cost-effective way to produce large quantities of waspert. Here's how it works. One, there's a picture of a wasp and a box containing sugary food, such as jam. Two, wasp flies into box to eat sugary meal. Three, inside box, wasp is stunned by an electric shock. Four, pincers are released, which squeeze wasp's torso, releasing wasp mustard collected in tiny porcelain pot. At end of day, pot is removed and wasp mustard is poured into a jar labelled waspert. It's that simple. I'm currently planning a huge marketing campaign for waspert and wonder if you would object if I quoted you on my promotional material. The first advert is going to print in 3 weeks' time, and I've taken the liberty to include the following words from your good self, and I quote, I eat waspert straight from the jar. Hope that's okay. If you have any objections, please do not hesitate to write back. Yours sincerely, Robin Cooper.
Wow. And did you get a response to that?
They write back with two lines. The Beekeeper Association. Dear Mr. Cooper, thank you for your letter of July the 12th concerning waspert. Very interesting, but do not associate our name with the project.
Oh, that's brilliant. Listen, thanks so much for calling. I look forward to getting the book, and best of luck with it.
I love your show, and thanks so much. I listen to you every week, and it's just brilliant.
All right. Good to hear. Take care, then. Let's take one more. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi. I'm actually on right now. Wow.
Yeah, you only have about 30 seconds, so are you able to wrap it up in 30 seconds?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
You were talking about the street's name. I was reminded of my hometown in Jackson, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
They actually have a bunch of streets named after golf terms like eagle, bogey, birdie. yeah.
That's good.
Also, yeah, I also enjoy the cat stories. It reminds me of horrible things my cat does.
Yeah, cats know what they're doing. They really do. They know how to get you.
Yeah, right. They're little bastards. They're great.
Yeah, they're great. They really are. Thanks thanks for your call. And it's,
Herb, no problem. Have a good day.
You too. It's a good note to end on. The cats are, in fact, little bastards. And we're going to have to go out on that. We'll be back next week with another fun-filled, cheerful edition of Off the Wall. Until then, try to stay happy.
just as it is. I remember I cried when my father died, never wishing to hide the tears. And at 65 years old, my mother, God rest her soul, couldn't understand why the only man she had ever loved had been taken, leaving her to start with a heart so badly broken. Despite encouragement from me, no words were ever spoken. When she passed away, cried and cried all day, alone again. Naturally,